And welcome, friends, to this, the Wednesday morning edition of the Grace Hour, broadcasting live once again right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. Great to be with you, friends, on this Wednesday morning, a wintry, cold, icy Wednesday morning here in Baltimore. We don't know about where you're tuning in and listening, but we've had some winter weather here, something that we haven't seen for quite some time. It's beautiful out there. It's cold out there, so we're very happy to be in the studio today where it's nice and warm, and you joining us makes it all worthwhile. Thanks so much for being here, and we hope you'll stay with us for the next 45 minutes or so, and we will hope to develop our theme this week here in the Grace Hour in a deeper way. Today's subject, of course, the theme throughout the week is prophecy. Today we'll talk about personal prophecy and what that means and how it impacts our lives. And of course, when it comes to prophecy, we know that the Bible has a lot to say about that. But we want to define it for you so that everybody understands and knows exactly, precisely what we're speaking about. Again, we want to welcome you to today's broadcast and encourage you to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. My name is Pastor John Love. Joining me in the studio today, Pastor Barry Quirk. We'll be your hosts for the next hour or so. So thank you again for joining us. We want you to also understand and know that you can participate in the broadcast. All you need to do is get to a phone, dial one of these numbers. You can share your thoughts with us as we develop our theme together with you, our listening audience. The toll-free number, 800-338-7060. You can dial that number anywhere in North America. And if you're listening locally in the Baltimore area, you can join us at 410-483-3700. Once again, welcome to today's Grace Hour broadcast. Personal prophecy. Pastor Barry, I think obviously the first thought that comes into people's minds when you mention the word prophecy is the future.
Mm-hmm.
I know it does in my case as well. Everybody thinks that way, and they think when it comes to biblical prophecy, they're thinking, okay, God's going to unfold and give us a glimpse into what's going to happen regarding future events. Eschatology, as the theologians refer to it as. But we're talking about something different today. We're talking about personal prophesying or personal edification,
mm-hmm.
or someone has described it this way. When you're talking about prophecy, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, it might be defined as the mind, the will, and the counsel of God that is brought forth. Can it impact future events? Certainly. But it also can reveal to us presently what God is communicating to us or wants us to communicate to His church.
Yeah, amen. I think, first of all, the misunderstanding of prophecy is probably the crux of the question, can personal prophecy exist today? And I think if we understand prophecy in the right context of a foretelling, you know, rather than a foretelling, then yes, it can exist because it's a declaration of God's mind, will, and purpose, as you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a big thing. I think the erroneous assumption that prophecy is, you know, something that is only a predictive force is part of the concern. And I think it's interesting, actually, that this word, really, you think of it morehand, more of a definition of something that instead of saying beforehand, like in provide, that pro at the beginning of prophecy, instead of saying beforehand, it means in place of. And in other words, Aaron was given to be a prophet for Moses. He spoke on behalf of Moses. You know, and really that's the picture of the Old Testament prophet was one who spoke on behalf of God. And that's why true prophecy was always marked with thus saith the Lord.
Yeah.
And it wasn't thus saith the prophet, but the inspiration of God spoke. And of course, let's go right to Hebrews chapter 1, where it says, in days past, in sundry ways, prophets spoke. And we know that many different ways that was, you know, the prophets each gave us a glimpse, you know, as God revealed to them in a personal way. what we would look forward to. But in these last days, in the 400 years after the end of the Old Testament to the beginning of the New Testament, testifying about Jesus Christ, you know, in these last days, the completion of that prophecy came to us in Christ. And now we have a written record of his word and his activity, which stands to guide us into the truth, which is what the Holy Spirit does, reveals to us the truth about our Savior. Now, does that mean that God doesn't speak to us today in a dynamic way? Of course he does. And that's, you know, the Bible is not a static document that once you've memorized it once, you're all set, but it's dynamic in the sense that it gives rhema and it speaks to us in a way that would motivate us to get to know him more and to experience his provision for us.
Yeah, amen. Fair to say that the New Testament pastor teacher is like the equivalent of the Old Testament prophet. I mean, if the Old Testament prophet brought forth the mind, the counsel, the will, the purpose of God, isn't that the role of the New Testament pastor teacher today in our local assemblies?
Yeah, I think really the question is it an objective prophecy or is it a subjective prophecy? In other words, any man, Old Testament or New Testament, that's using his own experience to try to demonstrate something that can really only be revealed by the character and nature of God. There's nothing in man that's good enough to reveal what God has to say to the church. But the Hebrew word for prophecy is nabai, and it means to bubble up or to spring forth, you know, like a hot spring. And really the only way that that's possible, that the springing forth comes from the source of God. So the New Testament preacher, yeah, we're talking about somebody who is pointing to, well, we're going to get into that a little bit here when we talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Why is it that the office of a prophet or one who prophesies would be desired? Well, because we're more than ever, it's important that we would be able to bring forth what the mind of God is for his people.
Yeah. In the Old Testament, in particular, in the book of Numbers, we understand that God called, raised up Moses, and of course you mentioned Aaron speaking on behalf of God,
yeah,
communicating the mind, counsel, will of God for his people Israel. But also in that same 11th chapter, the Spirit of God came upon others, and they began to prophesy.
Mm.
And of course, the advocates and the proponents of Moses were concerned about that, and they said, you should stop that.
Mm-hmm.
And because there are, you know, you stopped prophesying, well, you stopped speaking, but now they continue to speak. So you should make sure they stop. But, you know, Moses, his attitude was, listen, I wish that all of God's people would prophesy.
Yeah.
I wish that all God's people would receive the Spirit and communicate the mind, will, counsel of God. So there's something beneficial to others. And I think that was the problem in Corinth, is that, you know, they were desiring spiritual gifts. We know that.
Right.
I mean, they longed to, and Paul even said, as he addressed some of the problems in Corinth, he says, you haven't come behind in any of the spiritual gifts, but they were using those gifts for themselves,
yeah,
and not using them to edify the body of Christ.
Yes.
So all gifts, if used properly, always end up encouraging, edifying, and building up others within the confines and context of the body of Christ.
Yeah, amen. It's actually, I wrote down a few things that prophecy does. First of all, it edifies the church, as you just said, right? That's 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, it talks about that. But it's for our strengthening and our encouragement and our comfort. And right from the get-go in verse 1, it says to seek charity. And if we don't have charity in the picture, if it's not motivated by love, it's not God's mind, because God's mind is motivated by love. And whether it's a hard saying or an easy saying, a comforting saying, the motive of it is always restoration to a place of healthy relationship with him. So if it's for our own benefit, if a prophet gets up, you know, there are lines today that might as well be psychic hotlines, that they are Christian prophecy hotlines, like dial in today for this short call for this exorbitant fee, and you too can receive the mind of God for your life. Well, open your Bible, you know, go to the message, go to the church and hear the pulpit. bring forth the voice of God, and God will speak to you in ways that are very, very much accurate and true and present day, right? So that's Paul encouraged the Corinthians to desire the gift of prophecy because, especially among the other gifts, having the mind of God delivered in an accurate form, rightly divided, word of truth, was such a valuable gift, one that was without which, how do we even walk in our lives daily?
Yeah, absolutely. Before we continue and to develop this together on this, the Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour, just to go back, something that Peter wrote in his second epistle, and he started out in his first chapter by saying, we have not followed, in verse 16 of chapter 1, cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now, he's making a reference there to the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus took himself, James, and John, and was transfigured. They got a glimpse of his glory and the glory of the coming kingdom. And he even says that, the next verse, he says, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. And you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, if only I could have walked with Jesus, only if I could have seen Jesus, been with Jesus, it would make it, my faith would be so much more real, so much more established, so much more strong. But yet, listen to the next thing that Peter says. But we have a more sure word of prophecy. In other words, that was Peter's, well, that was his way of saying, listen, we saw his glory. We were eyewitnesses of it.
Yeah.
But we have something even better with the canon of Scripture, with the word of God, a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you would do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. That's incredible what he's telling us here.
Yeah.
Because so often, I mean, I've done it myself over the years. Oh, if I could have only walked with him, been with him. But think about it. Jesus would say to us and to all believers, you have something better. You have my word from Genesis to Revelation, and I'm also indwelling you. That's something even greater than walking beside me. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Wow, what a beautiful picture. God is complete, right? I mean, he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. There's no transformation, right? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the reason behind that is you can't be any more complete or perfect. He is the ultimate standard for completion and for perfection. There's no need for an evolution of God, right? So when the Scripture is completed, and as you said, we have from Genesis to Revelation the full thought given to us. Now, are we fully aware of that thought? No, we're not. And that's why the fourth teller, the one who's telling forth, he's speaking about things in the past, he's speaking about things in the present, and he's speaking about things in the future. But every single one of those things has their origin in who God was, who God is, and who God will be, which is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it's never an extra biblical prophecy, right? And this is, I think, where many people fall short in their ministries, is that they have this bent, and whether it's, you know, there are certain charismatic or Pentecostal movements that maybe a heavy emphasis on the Holy Spirit and what is the Holy Spirit saying today. And, you know, and I need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, and we all need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit is given as our comforter in John 14:26, and he leads us and guides us in all truth. But the Holy Spirit is not the only emphasis. The Holy Spirit actually reveals to us what the Word of God says. And I'll never forget, Pastor Stevens used to speak about this a lot. He'd say, you know, if we have the Holy Spirit alone, you tend to blow up, you know? And if you have the Word of God alone without any Spirit revelation of what the Word means or is saying, then you tend to dry up. But if you have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit together, then you tend to grow up. And really, the picture of the ministry of God to us in His Word as revealed to us by His Spirit and always confirming His character, right? This is the other thing, is that if we ever hear a preacher or a prophet, quote unquote, saying something that's extra biblical, and it doesn't exemplify what God's character is, then we know it's not true. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because we know that the Bible is the ultimate authority about what God's character and nature is and says.
Yeah. And that's why you do have to be careful when you hear the advertisements of the prophet coming to this church or yes. the prophet coming to your particular area, and come out and hear him, you know, proclaim what God wants you to. I mean, you just have to be careful because,
yes.
again, in the church age, which is different from the Old Testament, when God, as you said, he spoke unto his people through their fathers and through the prophets of old. Well, now in the New Testament economy, in the church age, you have the pastor teachers, mm-hmm. and you have them in each local assembly, raised up by God, anointed by God to proclaim the mind of God for that particular local assembly.
Yes,
And so you could actually say that really one of the most important things that believers can do is to attend their local churches.
Yes, absolutely.
And again, you want to be sure, and this goes back to a booklet that Pastor Stevens wrote years ago, How to Choose a Local Assembly. But obviously, you know, the message has to be the biblical message. It has to be the gospel of grace, as Paul described it. And, you know, you want the pastor teacher to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. And that's not something unusual or strange or mystical. It just means that he's Spirit-filled and he's communicating the Word of God with the mind of God in some instances, we could say, in the mood of God.
Yes.
And he's being led by the Holy Spirit to communicate the purpose of God for that local area.
Yeah, the purpose of a shepherd is to make sure that the sheep are being guided into a safe place. He can't eat for them. He can't drink for them. He can lead them and guide them to a field where they eat and drink for themselves, right? So I think in the same way, the pastors that we are given, the shepherds that we are given, are men of God after God's own heart. And they are aware of the trends that are attacking the church. They are aware of the times that we live in. They know what emphasis needs to be shared in order to protect us from an enemy that we may or may not see, that we are vulnerable as sheep are vulnerable, and God raises up pastors after his own heart, Jeremiah chapter 3, so that we are protected. And I like this about 2 Timothy 3:16 that says the word of God, doctrine, you know, doctrine, reproof, correction, exhortation, and righteousness, these are things that are all for our benefit and ultimately for the glory of God. But the equipping of the saints is what the whole purpose of the foretelling or the prophecy of God is all about, is the equipping of the saints, that they would grow up in the character and nature of who God is. So I think another way that we could maybe be, you know, because we don't want to say today that God doesn't have a word in season for us, right? Like, this is the other side of this is, I hear the word of God as it's taught from the pulpit. Then I have a time in the word of God myself where I meditate on it, I memorize it, I learn it. And then the Holy Spirit is faithful in certain circumstances when I really need confirmation of that word to be brought forward. He's faithful to prod me in areas and to say, hey, remember when I shared with you that you don't need to be anxious because you can cast your cares upon me? That is a prophetic word. You know, it's a bringing forth of the truth of God. And actually, it might be that I'm exhorting my brother, hey, remember what the word says, that we can walk together in agreement. Hey, remember, right? But it's always at the benefit of the equipping of the saint. And it's also, its source is always from the truth that comes from God. It's not extra biblical. It's not done outside of the order of God's mind. And it's not in any way, shape, or form haphazard, but it's a revelation or a reminder of God's thinking and God's actions in our own life.
Mm. And it's so important to note and to remember that when it comes to these gifts, these spiritual gifts that Paul wrote about. The church at Corinth, he spends a great deal of time talking about the gifts, the use of those gifts, but more importantly, focusing on, in many cases, the abuse of those gifts.
Yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't that, you know, he really wanted to address the gifts and the importance of the gifts as much as he was addressing the abuse of those gifts.
Yes.
Because so often they were using those gifts, you know, for themselves, maybe for self-promotion, maybe for self-glorification. But Paul wanted to make it very clear that when the gifts are exercised in a proper manner, they always edify the body of Christ.
Yeah.
That was the confusion about the tongues.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, tongues, he was saying, look, if you want to speak in tongues before God, that's for you. That will encourage you in your faith. Okay, fine. But, you know, I'd rather speak five words that my brothers and sisters can understand in a language that they can identify with than 1,000 in another language, which doesn't profit, benefit, or encourage anybody.
Yeah, and again, the question has to be asked, if somebody has that gift of tongues that they're expressing, you know, is it, it needs to be expressed in a way that there's translation immediately. So by the time, you know, the hearer is even hearing what's being said, there's the speaker, there's the translator, and then there's the receiver. And we're trusting that along the ways that everything is divinely communicated in a way that's not going to be confusing or misunderstood. Whereas the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, right? And it's able to divide and it's able to discern and it's able to speak. And as you just said, the clarity of the word of God spoken without any question about who the deliverer is, which, you know, even in the Old Testament, when our prophets were speaking, we would say, were they divinely inspired all the time? Well, when they were speaking from the Lord, they were divinely inspired, right? And we see the situation with David and Nathan, and he's inquiring about building the temple, and you know, he's assured, yeah, this is a good move. Go ahead and do this. And then later on, he had to come back and say, no, it's not a good move. Thus saith the Lord. He added that to the picture because before it was just an interpretation or a thought, or, you know, maybe this is what I think would be a good idea. But later he got definition from God specifically. And I think this is another thing that we speak with authority in people's lives sometimes, you know, and as pastors and teachers, we speak with authority. But this is why it's so important not to be familiar with what God says, because there's no authority that I have in and of myself that's valuable to any other person, right? But when I communicate clearly what the word of God says, God may speak to a person. And the amazing thing is I'm sharing a thought or a word, and God might be speaking in a parallel way to them because of that. That's the Holy Spirit at work in their lives. And that's why it is such a valuable, important tool in our lives that we would have the word of God going forth, prophesying. But it's not for the sake of the edifier, the person who's speaking in tongues. It's for the edification of the entire body.
Yeah. Yeah, and to separate the individual from the body is to, again, to use the analogy that Paul used about the physical body.
Yes.
You know, the hand can't say to the foot, look, I have no need of you.
Right.
I mean, it just doesn't add up. You know, the body works in a unified fashion, and every member is critical and important to that. So it always has to be within the context of the body of Christ, where gifts are exercised, where prophecy is brought forth. And again, the New Testament principle, we read about it in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Yes, there was a time that God gave some apostles, but the apostles, there aren't apostles any longer today.
Right.
Those are those that actually were with Jesus, ordained by Jesus, raised up, called by Jesus. And then, of course, some prophets, some evangelists, and then some pastor teachers. And what's interesting is that the only one of these roles that was to remain throughout the history of the church was the role of the pastor teacher.
Wow.
All of those, even the evangelists. Now, some people say, well, wait a minute. Does God raise up evangelists? Yes, he does. Let's use the case of Dr. Billy Graham, for instance. God used him mightily, powerfully.
Yes.
But if you notice something, that Billy Graham, after he would hold an evangelical event, at the conclusion of it, after having brought forth an invitation and invited people to accept Christ, he would always close his meetings by saying, now, find a local church.
Yes.
Get into that local church.
Yes.
So that you can be fed, so that you can be edified, so that you can be built up, so that you can do the work of the ministry.
Yeah, and I would say in history we've seen cases, Pastor Love, where there's like revivals. You know, there was a case of a revival in Indonesia, a huge Word of God revival that happened, or a spiritual revival that happened as a result of a series of, you know, sort of like Billy Graham crusades that happened. And a lot of people came to Christ and God manifests himself in a lot of ways. And then afterwards, there was this huge vacuum because there was no local church. And unfortunately, people were left to their own devices to try to interpret what had just happened. And many fell into error and many became worse off than they ever were before the revival had come through. So it is very important to say that the gifts that God provides, just like any other thing in the body of Christ, that people have the gift of helps, people have the gift, you know, whatever the specific gift is, it's a gift given for the overall edification of the body. And it doesn't replace the need for us having the mind of Christ on a daily basis. And again, doctrine, reproof, correction, exhortation, and righteousness, like this is saying this word keeps me on the straight and narrow with God. Now, the beautiful thing about the straight and narrow is there's a whole lot of wide open space there, right? And we do give a lot of liberties, but it's to be enjoyed with the mind of God as our guide and not just our own subjective thoughts or opinions or feelings. And this is why, you know, in our zeal as young believers or people who that have not really taken the time to have the Word of God take residence in us, we could misunderstand some of these things. I also want to say, I like in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, when it speaks about in times past, you know, God spoke in sundry ways through many, many different portions and in many different ways, but he spoke by those prophets. You know, in other words, he used them as an instrument to breathe forward. You know, we picture the picture of the sails of a boat being filled with the wind that moves them. Well, the Holy Spirit was the wind that moved those men that were there to receive that. But in these last days, he's spoken in his Son, right? It's not just by his Son, but his Son is the authority that speaks. So it's not like there's an incomplete prophecy waiting to happen. It is the completion of all prophecy is in Jesus Christ. The authority of all is in Jesus Christ. And that's who we have a personal relationship with today. So this is a beautiful thought about just that our when we desire gifts, you know, those gifts are to demonstrate the charity, the love of Christ, the grace. All of our gifts at this point are a gift of grace, that's right, with its source ultimately at the one who is the grace giver.
Amen. You know, I believe that narrow road that you mentioned that Jesus spoke about, it's narrow because it's grace. That's the only road.
It's the only road.
It's the only road.
Yes.
So sometimes I think when we think about, you know, I hear this a lot from people, whether they are believers or unbelievers, you've got to walk the straight and narrow. I mean, that almost sounds, you know, it's filled with peril and danger because you could take a false step and it's over. But that's not the gracious road that God has called us to.
Right.
It's a road of forgiveness. It's a road of mercy. It's a road of more grace. It's a road that if you stumble, he will put you back on your feet. He'll pick you up as many times as you stumble. All you have to do is acknowledge it. And, you know, that's the road that we've been called to. And and to stay on that road, you need, well, what Jesus said, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
That's right.
Not just, again, the messages that most appeal to you, that you enjoy the most. I mean, you know, you hear people say it all the time. I only want to hear something that edifies me. Well, if it's the Word of God, it'll always edify you. Mm. It might correct you. It might discipline you. It might, you know, grab you by the scruff of your neck and say, you know what, we got to make some adjustments here.
Yeah.
But it's always going to build you up. The goal, the design, the objective is always to build you up and to bring you into a closer, more intimate fellowship with him.
Yeah, and I like this thought about how prophecy or doctrine, reproof, correction, all of those things come with the full knowledge behind it, right? So when God corrects us, he has full knowledge of the situation, beginning to end. He knows every imaginable detail. He knows every way that it could turn out, what every action would produce. He has the whole picture in mind. What human being can say that, you know, that we could speak with full authority when we don't have full authority? And I think that the picture, you know, we were speaking with our staff this morning, and we have certain policies that we roll out or certain policies that we define that are already in existence. And all of a sudden, students are like expert caseworkers. You know, they have every definition on why that's appropriate or inappropriate, and write phenomenal responses. You know, if I were to grade them, I would say, wow, this is better than any work you produced in our classrooms. But the point is that they have a very narrow viewpoint with a very narrow understanding of why the picture is happening. And then they express with full vigor and full authority in their minds why this is a good or a bad decision. And when given the overall picture, they might have something completely different in mind. And this is why the mind of God, when he gives us pastors after his own heart, and we hear a message, and there are times, Pastor Love, when we're either sharing a message or receiving a message that we say, wow, this kind of hurts. You know, and why does that happen? Well, because God very specifically wants to correct us and protect us against things that will take us completely out of the race. Mm. So that realignment can sometimes be a painful process, but in the big picture, boy, it's the most comforting thing ever. Mm. So without the full counsel of God, as you so aptly stated earlier, then we don't have a chance, you know? Yeah. And as a person who is put in a place where I might have an opportunity to share something, if I misuse that opportunity as a way to express a personal desire, or see, how many times we hear this, the pulpit is not a bully pulpit, right? You don't use it as a place to beat people up for personal gain, or, you know, because we think that we know something's right. But we are sensitive to God, and that's why we love the ministry we're in, is that the messages that come forth from our pulpit, we can say are genuinely approached without familiarity and with, you know, with fear and trepidation, that I want to present what God's mind and heart is for this crowd today, or I don't want to share it, you know. And that's, I think that we could say that's the way we approach the pulpit, like, God, give me your mind, or don't let me open my mouth.
Yeah.
And really, that's because we have that much conviction about what it is that we are telling forth. Well, it's the character and nature of God. And if something's coming out of my mouth in an authoritative way to instruct somebody that is not from the mind of God, that's troubling.
Yeah. And I think that that goes back to what James in his epistle wrote and warned, because at that time in church history, everybody wanted to be a preacher. Everybody wanted to get in the pulpit. Everybody wanted to communicate. And he said to them, you know, stop becoming teachers, so many of you.
Yeah.
And then he warned them. He says, don't you realize that when Bible preachers and teachers, pastors, when they stand before God, they are going to be evaluated with a different standard than believers in the local assembly are going to be evaluated. Why? Because they were the ones communicating.
Yes.
And they run the risk, because obviously, if you don't say anything, you're not endangering people, you're not offending people. Mm-hmm. But when you are the communicator, you got to make sure that you got it right.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes back to 2 Timothy 2:15, you know, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yes.
It means to cut it straight. We could say it this way, get it straight.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think about it. Medical doctors and how long they have to study and prepare and then, you know, practice medicine before they're actually given a license to, you know, practice medicine in a legitimate legal way in a hospital or in a doctor's office. Years and years and years of scrutiny, evaluation. Are you ready? Are you prepared to simply take care of a human body? You and I are dealing with the eternal souls of men and women. We had better get it straight. Mm-hmm. We better make sure that when, as you said, when we get in that pulpit or we're communicating that message or teaching that Bible class, whatever it might be, we better make sure that we get the message right.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't, we will stand before God someday. And that's not to say that it will be a judgment for sin. That's not the point. But if we don't exercise our responsibility carefully and in a spirit-led way, with an accurate, precise message, a biblical message, mm-hmm. We're going to be in trouble. I think that that's why Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11 says, everybody's received a gift, you know, and they should exercise that gift in such a way that God is always glorified. Mm-hmm. And I love what he said. He says, if any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God.
Yes, yes.
If any man minister, let him do so according to the ability which God gives.
Yes.
That way, God will always be glorified, not the man.
Can you imagine speaking without accountability to God? You know, really, like this is such a scary thought to me that we could literally, in the name of representing God, we could be representing something that's completely outside of the character of God. And this is why I think what you just said is so important for us to note, is that the personal accountability of the scripture to us is so invaluable in our communication to others. And I would say it's very telling if a person, even an authoritative place in the church, is able to be corrected by God, you know, because that genuinely means he understands the character and nature of God and the message to the point where he's able to be corrected. And then how much more would I trust what's coming out of his mouth from the scriptures when I've seen demonstrated in his life the ability for God to correct him? And we've heard many times, you know, in messages or in rap sessions where, you know, our pastor has said, you know, I think God's really spoken a lot in this area recently, and I think maybe my understanding has been enlarged in this area. I love to hear that, like mm-hmm. that God, you know, this is a man who's walking with God, and you, as you know from his study habits, it's pretty incredible, the insane amount of time in the Bible, on his knees in prayer, getting to know the mind and heart of God. And yet, in this, you know, with all these years and all this experience, saying God is still able to correct me today like never before. And I'm so comforted by that.
Yeah.
So personal accountability, if we have somebody who is, you know, delivering a message in the name of God and thus saith the Lord, and, you know, that's a beautiful saying. Actually, thus saith the Lord. It's the thing that made Jeremiah and Ezekiel and all of these prophets, the authoritative word that came from them, it was so comforting, even when it was a hard saying for Israel, it's thus saith the Lord. But that could equally be a scary term by somebody who doesn't have accountability to the scripture and doesn't know God personally, that they're running around saying, thus saith the Lord, when it's, no, thus saith Tom or Joe or Bill or Susie or whoever it is, that's a scary statement. Mm-hmm. Thus saith the Lord. When you are speaking with all authority of God, well, guess what? There's all accountability to God for what you're saying
that's
as
right.
well.
Yeah. I mean, again, James says it in the third chapter of his epistle, there will be a greater judgment.
Yes.
The Greek phrase is meizona krema. Some of them are going to be creamed when they stand before God.
Yeah.
But, you know, recently a brother who's been walking with the Lord for decades, he said something to me. He asked me a question. He says, can I ask you something? I said, absolutely. He says, you know, when you preach, do you still do it with fear and trembling? My answer immediately was absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He said, oh, that's good to know. He says, because I sense that. I still feel that same way. Mm. And he's been walking with God for decades. And it's almost, you know, Paul said it. When I was with you, I was with you in fear and trembling.
Mm-hmm.
It's healthy. You know, you don't want to, in familiarity, step into that pulpit and think to yourself, boy, do I have something to say.
Oh, man.
No, you want to be filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, communicating the mind, the counsel, the will, the purpose of God. Whenever you have that great privilege to stand before God's people, because you want them to be edified.
Yeah.
You want them to be encouraged. You want to feed their souls, because the more you feed the souls of God's people in an anointed way with real biblical prophecy, you're giving them a capacity to discern the spirits.
Yes.
Because the more of the word of God we take into our souls, the greater our ability to discern.
Yes.
And so when spirit trends try to creep into a local assembly, you can discern those spirit trends. You can identify them. And that's going to go a long way to helping you develop your faith before God.
Yeah, and maybe I become more comfortable in my public speaking, you know, where I'm not as nervous, or
sure.
I can deliver the words in a way that aren't, you know, but the way I approach the subject matter, the way that I approach the throne of God, not wanting to speak with my own intonation or my own bent on the subject, but wanting to reveal the Spirit of God and let Him speak. God's faithful to speak. If I proclaim the truth, which is really what prophecy is, a proclamation of the truth, then God is faithful to speak in the manner that He means to that individual person. And I think that's the objectivity of the Word that can speak to us, even in our subject, you know, that we can be have the objective Word address the subjectivity that we face. And we can be brought to the light in a way that no human could ever discern. Even having a lot of knowledge about a situation, we don't really know what's going to speak and what's going to deliver. Pastor Love, I think we actually have a caller here today.
We do. George is joining us live on our broadcast today. George, thanks for holding on. Go right ahead, sir.
Hey, Pastor Love, Pastor Barry. Excellent subject here today. You know, you're also touching on what is wrong in Christianity today. You know, mixed messaging across the nation, you know, all the different denominations, you know, and it's just, you know, I treasure what you guys are saying, because what you're saying is the truth. You're speaking the truth. This is how the Lord wants it laid out. You know, this is it, line upon line, precept upon precept, you know. And it's, I just wanted to tell you that it's just, you know, you're blessing me today.
Well, thank you, George. We know that you are one of those sheep that knows how to hear the shepherd's voice, right? And you've been around for quite a while, and you know when the pulpit is delivering the Word of God, that there's a sure sound to it, and that it's motivated by God's mind for us. And because of that, we can gladly receive it, no matter how difficult or challenging the message might be. We're happy to hear it, because we know that it's for our edification and for our protection and for our personal growth.
Amen. Yes. Yes, sir. Yeah. Love it.
Thank you, George. Appreciate the call.
Hey, love you, best love. Thank you.
Well, friends, just a minute or two left in today's broadcast. The final thoughts, Pastor Barry, before we wrap up the Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour?
Well, I just, again, want to say I'm so happy that we have God's we have accountability to God in all that we do, right? And there really is a bubbling forth and a speaking forward of the character and nature of God that occurs. And I do think in 1 Corinthians 14:1 that that the motive of our desiring gifts is charity, right? It's God's love. It's being able to edify the brethren, edify the body of Christ in a way that He designed for us to do. And it's our calling in life. And we do have a purpose in his body. And we could desire to have, to see what it is that God has for us to be as a part of in that body. And that this is a crucial part of it, but rightly dividing the Word of truth, having a pulpit in our lives, having a ministry, being a part of a church, having people that sense the trends and can share to the body, specifically, and being a part of something that's bigger than ourselves with full accountability to God, guarding our tongues, not being familiar, not falling short of, you know, being objective in the Word and having our own expression are all very important, which is why tonight would be a great opportunity, right?
That's right. Our midweek service is coming up this evening, 7 p.m. right here at the Greater Grace World Outreach Plaza. We're located at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, right here in Baltimore, and we invite you to join us. Come on out, be a part of our church service, our midweek service that's tonight. And don't forget, if some of this is new to you and some of it is it's new to your understanding, you know, this relationship with Christ begins when you receive Him as your Savior. Mm-hmm. If you've never done that, we invite you to do that right now, and you can ask Christ to come into your heart, cleanse you of your sins, just by believing on Him. Faith alone justifies you in the sight of God. So say, Jesus, come into my heart and cleanse me of my sin, save me, and do it for your name's sake. And that's the way you get on this road, a road of faith, a road of real life. And I heard a quote yesterday by Winston Churchill. He says, you know, when you're out there and you're working to make a living. But when you're giving, then you're making a life. Mm. So share something about Christ with others today. If you speak, again, speak as of the oracles of God.
Yes.
Because the word of God is always certain to build up others. Thanks so much for joining us, friends. We'll be back tomorrow for the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. Until then, may God bless you.